Hi, I'm Mike Webb, and you're listening to the ProPublica podcast. Earlier this year, Arizona passed a law that allows law enforcement officials to detain anyone suspected of being in the United States illegally. The law reignited the immigration debate and prompted Marcus Stern to investigate the immigration policies of the Obama administration. In a piece published last week, Stern reports that the administration has shifted the focus from deporting all undocumented immigrants to deporting those with criminal histories. Stern won a Pulitzer Prize for his work in exposing the Randy Duke Cunningham corruption scheme, and he's been reporting on immigration issues for more than a decade. We spoke to Marcus last week to find out more about his latest story. Welcome to the podcast. Okay, Mark, you wrote about the change in deportation policy. Why don't we do a quick overview of it and how it was handled under the Bush administration and then the Obama administration when they first came into place and now?
Throughout the Bush years, there was a steady increase in the budget for deporting undocumented immigrants, and it resulted in a steady, dramatic increase in the number of deportations. If you go all the way back, say, to the beginning of the Clinton years in the early 1990s, deportations were running about 30,000 a year. Well, last year, under Obama, deportations reached 387,000. And this year, although the numbers are down slightly, the administration had at one point been signaling that they thought they would surpass 400,000.
Do we actually have the capacity to do that?
Well, one of the reasons we have the capacity today that we didn't have before is we've begun to let state and local law enforcement agencies get involved in immigration enforcement, much as was talked about in terms of Arizona. Well, there are two federal programs that have reached out to a lot of different jurisdictions now, so that when a local policeman picks somebody, has a traffic stop or picks somebody up, they, in many cases, are able, if they're in the right jurisdiction and have an agreement with the federal government, they can check immigration databases, see if this person is an undocumented immigrant, and if so, flag them to ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, for deportation. And so that's really expanded the ability to sort of scoop up people.
Okay, so we saw this huge jump in the number of deportees. Did it really accelerate during the Bush administration, or did it start to happen under Obama?
It was accelerating under the Bush administration as well, and continued accelerating under Obama. The thing that has changed in the last year is that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, under which has primary responsibility for finding and removing undocumented immigrants in the United States away from the border, this agency has decided to pursue a strategy in which they focus primarily on criminals, recent arrivals, and people who were deported previously and either came back or never left.
Well, Mark, what was going on in Georgia in 2006 that may have inspired the Arizona law?
Long before Arizona took up its law, the state of Georgia took up a similar law, a precursor law. Basically, what it did is strongly encourage all of its counties and all of its police jurisdictions to form agreements with the federal government and get involved in local enforcement of immigration laws. And it was a very bitter fight, perhaps not as widespread and visible as the one in Arizona. It didn't get the wide attention that Arizona has, but it was a pretty nasty fight in Georgia. It was passed, and as soon as it was passed, then Cobb County, one of the big suburban counties around Atlanta, arranged an agreement. And it started going after the undocumented community really vigorously. It started really targeting people. And this was the timing was sort of unfortunate, because this was the same time that there was a major drought in the area, so one of the economic pillars of the immigrant community, landscaping, was wiped out, and also the housing bubble burst, and so the primary pillar for economic pillar for these folks was the home building industry, and that was gone. And then all of a sudden, you had this triple whammy, this third thing. You had local enforcement of immigration laws, which was very disruptive, and all of this caused immigrants to flee to neighboring states, some to go back to Mexico. And it made life very, very difficult. It was a very bad time for the immigrant community in the Atlanta area. On the other hand, of course, those people who were in favor of this law were having a heyday, because it was very easy to pick up large numbers of undocumented folks on the streets and around Atlanta when a policeman happened to stop them for something like not having a taillight being out, or not using a blinker when a person turns. So it was a double-edged sword. I mean, on the one hand, it was horrible for the immigrant community. On the other hand, it was very cathartic for the law enforcement community.
What kind of crimes did you have to commit to be deported, and how do you define the worst of the worst?
Well, right now what they're doing, they've created a tier system of Class 1, Class 2, and Class 3 crimes, or criminals. The Class 1s, the ones they really want to target, the worst of the worst, are rapists, murderers, criminals, aggravated felons, people who have done heinous things and have, really egregious felonies. The Class 2 offenders can be somebody who has a felony, but it's not a nasty felony. And Class 1 offender is somebody who maybe has a misdemeanor or two, possibly drunk driving or something like that. So that's how they grade them. And they really want to get all the Class 1s, the aggravated felons, the murderers, the rapists, and they want to get as many of the Class 2, who are people who have maybe a felony but not a really violent felony, and to some extent avoid getting caught up with the non-criminals and those people that may have a misdemeanor. The problem is that, they're deporting 400,000 people now, but there's also these huge backlogs along the way, so that people are having two-year waits to go before an immigration judge, which means because they have to be released. So, you might have remembered an incident at Virginia about a month ago where a guy from Bolivia had a crash with a car full of nuns and killed one of the nuns, and he had 3 DUIs and was undocumented. And the reason he was out, and Janet Napolitano had this deer in the headlight look on her face, like, we'll have to find out how that happened, but it's routine because they have such a backlog of people that need to go before the immigration judges that people get released for 1 or 2 years before they see a judge.
Okay, and was it possible to tell how much success they're having at getting at those people?
Yeah, there's an organization, a program at Syracuse University called TRAC, and they use Freedom of Information Acts and other ways, means to pry data from the government, and they've looked at the trends in terms of who's being deported. And what they found is that during the Bush administration, as the Bush administration got more money, what they did is they began scooping up more people, but they were largely non-criminals. So the percentage of people that were being deported who were criminals gradually each year went down to the point where it was at 27%. So that in fact, 4 out of 5 people who were being deported were non-criminals. Under Obama, what they have started doing, and they're just starting to really put in place in earnest, is a program in which they really want to avoid going after the non-criminals and the small criminals as a group, so that they can focus on getting a higher percentage of the real criminals, the hardcore criminals. And they've brought that percentage from 27%, which was the last year of the Bush administration, up to 43%. So now almost half of them are hardcore criminals, and they're still, of course, at record levels of removals. They haven't fallen off in removals to do that.
Well, one of the things that I thought was interesting was not only were some Republican officials upset about the change, but some immigration activists were upset as well. What were they most concerned about?
Well, the immigration activists are concerned because it's not going far enough and fast enough, and they have great expectations. What they really would like to see, of course, is no enforcement or very little, very targeted enforcement, very selective enforcement when it comes to deportation. And what you have here is you don't have legalization, which is what they actually want and what the administration wants as well, and you have less of the other extreme deportation. But what you've got two problems here. One is that there are still a lot of people who can be subject to deportation. And secondly, those people who might get bypassed for deportation because they've been in the country for a long time and they don't have any criminal record, they may stay in the country without having to worry about deportation, but they don't have driver's licenses, they don't have Social Security cards, they can't get jobs, they can't drive to work, at least not legally. It just keeps them in the shadows.
Okay. And why hasn't momentum developed on one side or the other to, like, really make some progress on the broad immigration issue as well as just deportation?
I suspect you mean you are talking about comprehensive immigration reform, which is a phrase for, inside the Beltway certainly, for some kind of reform that would provide a path to legalization for the estimated 10 million to 14 million people who are in the country illegally today. And that is, it's just a huge, highly emotional issue, very complicated with many moving parts. It's easy to talk about the issue for Congress, but it is very hard for Congress to do things when it comes to immigration. easy to talk about, hard to do.
Okay, well, Marcus Stern, thank you very much for joining us. That was Marcus Stern. To read his latest story, The Administration Takes Steps That Will Reduce Deportation Risk for Many Undocumented Immigrants, visit ProPublica.org/deportation. I'm Mike Webb. This podcast was produced by Qadiyah Muhammad. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.